Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. You know, as we were singing the song, Your Presence is Heaven to Me, a thought came to my mind. And I know that we all think that the presence is really, we're talking about Jesus Christ. But if we believe that Jesus Christ is here among us, then let's do it in a more real fashion. By just maybe, if you all were to turn to your neighbor and say, your presence is heaven to me too. You know, that was there's the cheeky part of me. I must admit that there's always a cheeky part of me that I would have said, you know, turn to someone else you maybe like a little bit less and say, your presence is heaven to me. But I don't want to say that, okay? Just turn to another person and just say, your presence is heaven to me. Okay. Father God, we just dedicate this time to you. We say to you, we are a needy people. We need you. We want you to come and just change us, mold us, and do something in us this day. We come by faith to you for a breakthrough this morning. Whatever things that we think we have held, we are important, help us to be able to see it, not in the way we see, but in the way you see, so that we can have a breakthrough. So, Lord, we just thank you, we bless you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is called A Letter from Heaven. From prison. Sorry, I'm thinking so much of prison. Letter from prison, okay. All right, prison, okay. And a lot of you will think, you know, that sounds like a really dark, or, you know, not so pleasant sort of thing, getting a letter from prison. But this letter is from Paul the Apostle, written when he was to the church in Philippi. And so it's from the book of Philippians. So I'm drawing from it from the book of Philippians. So let me say, if you were a person in prison and you were to write a letter, what sort of things would you write in that letter? Remember, put yourself, visualize. You know, when we talk, we do hearing from God's voice, we do visualization. You know, visualize for yourself. You're in prison and now you need to write a letter. I won't say to Evangel Christian Fellowship, but let's just say a letter somewhere, you know. What would you write? Now, I don't want you to write that down, but just hold that thought because I want to cycle back to that somewhere towards the end. Now, maybe for the purposes of the younger audiences, the children down here, let's put a little bit of context to where this letter comes from, okay? So I've put it down there, the next slide. It says this is the prisoner. So the prisoner is Paul. Right? Paul was led to this city by a vision from God. So he had a vision that enabled him to go to that city. The Holy Spirit led him through a vision, and he went. He went into this region, and he went into this city, and miraculous things happened. Right? The first believers formed the church there. Right? But now, it's been some years since the church was founded. And now he's in prison and he is thinking about the church there, and he hears certain things about the church. So he's writing back there. So it's now, in some places, we call it, from my workplace, we call it, you have moved from project phase to operations. How shall I say? In project phase, that's like building things, starting something new, exciting stuff. Things happen. But now things are a little gone into operations. That means normal. Not say normal routine, but settling down into general mode of things. And sometimes when we go into the general mode, the sort of things we say, we'll never ever get ourselves hooked up on, or we will never go into this mistake, we tend to go into it because over time, we drift and we forget the things that we say we will never let happen to us. Now, what about the church? The church was the first believers. There was a woman saved through the prayers in a prayer meeting by the river. There was Lydia. And not just Lydia, but her whole household was saved. Then there was also the demon-possessed girl. and she was saved. And I believe that if you follow the general tradition, the person who got saved through such miracles went to church and stayed on with Christ, okay? And then there was the government officer, the jailer, who took him into prison, right? But through a miraculous happening because of the earthquake, the prison got shaken. He almost wanted to kill himself. But then Paul says, no, no, don't do it. And out of that, the Philippi jailer, not just him, but his entire family, got saved. So just think about it. These are the sort of people that came and formed the church. Not exactly the best-looking crowd, right? So a merchant person by the river, maybe that's a bit respectable. Then a demon-possessed person inside the church, ex-demon-possessed, okay? Not say demon, still currently demon-possessed, ex-demon-possessed, okay? And then you got a jailer person who used to jail people, right? So this is kind of like, I suppose, church. We're all made up of different people with different background, all with different histories, coming together, bonding together as a family. And so over the time period, I want to take you now to what I call the concluding part of his letter, in chapter 4. All right? And the concluding part is just to say, this is the sort of things that came up, and these are some main ideas or some main points that was in his mind. So now, if you look into the book of Philippians, there are many words that comes up several times, and you might want to say, okay, rejoice in the Lord, the peace of God, things of the Lord comes up many times. There are certain things that also comes up in there that talks about same conflict, same love, same mind, same love, same cause, same thing, same rule. And I leave that to you to do a little bit. But here in this first particular one, the second slide, is I would say how to work through disagreements in life. So here we have two women, not that it's particular to women, it can also be man and woman, it could be against amongst men as well. The principle applies. The whole issue is, he said, I implore, and he names them, Euodia and Syntyche. And the two women have some disagreement. So can you imagine this? He's in prison, far away, and he hears about this. So it's a little bit like you're hearing about something in Malaysia that's happening and you're in Perth. So something, that disagreement must be so well known that it's spread across distances. Paul doesn't actually say what the disagreement was. He doesn't talk about whether it was a doctrinal issue, and I believe it was not. He doesn't actually say, you know what, Euodia, I think you're right. Syntyche, repent. No. Or the reverse. He just says, for these two persons, and he implores them to be of the same mind in Christ. To be of the same mind in Christ. And he urged even a third person to kind of like be the mediator among that. Would you say that in relationships that you would also have disagreements in the course of time? And would you say that some of us would have very strong opinions and preferences and thinking about things, and we would go to war on them? I know you all are silent because you all are very good people, not like me who do all these sort of bad things. But you know, there are things that we hold so dear and we will fight. We will fight for it. But do you know that over time, some of the things we fought for 5 years ago or 10 years ago don't really matter very much? Would you say yes to that? Yeah? Would you say yes to that? Because some of the things we say, you got to do it this way. You know, you got to behave like this. If you do anything otherwise, we will have to bring you in church and lay hands on you. And, you know, that sort of stuff, you know. But there are things that we are so entrenched sometimes. So he's saying, look, I'm not talking about what you disagree with. I'm talking about, can we have the same mind in Christ? We go to war. We go to many battles in life, but really what we should concentrate on is what are the true things that we need to keep in the relationship. You know, someone said to me some years ago, and I thought it was quite funny actually, but actually the funny part about it was seemed so real, was that he said something. He said, you know, your wife... And this was talking about husband-wife relationship, right? It's not your enemy. And I said, hey, what do you mean my wife is not? Of course my wife is not my enemy. But then the thing is, sometimes in our life, because we have been so familiar with our relationships and so strong in our disagreements, that it almost looks as though, feels as though, act as though, and we behave as though they are the enemy. They're not the enemy. For whoever thinks that you may disagree with anyone in this church or in this family or in this relationship that you have, just remember, they are not your enemy. They are your fellow believers in Christ. Because these two women were fellow believers in Christ. They were two people who were evangelistic. They were gospel preaching people. They went out and did the work of God. Their names are written in the book of life. I hope I haven't made you all so worried about me. But a lot of times we think it's about what we think and what we are, but it's not about you. It's about something bigger than that. It's not about you. Something bigger than that. Some of you may have seen the, read through, if you remember the book, Purpose Driven Life or something like that. Yep. And the first chapter starts about who are you? And then at the end of the whole thing, you think, well, it will tell me who am I? And then it says, it's not about you. And I said, what? I thought the whole question is finding who I am. And it says, it's not about you. It's about the Creator who made us. It's about the Creator who has the kingdom of God that we live in. It's more about God than more about us. Same mind. You see, prior to him coming to this chapter with these two persons giving life example, right? He was talking about same mind. And the same mind comes up in the previous chapter, chapter 3, chapter 2. And he talks about having the same love. Do we have the same love? Do we have the same rule that governs our life? Do we fight for the same cause? Because if we understand that we are fighting the same cause, then we will not fight so much among one another. Because what the devil wants is disunity in the ranks of the believers. Are we thinking about the same things? Do we mind the same things? Not the things of this earth, but the things of God. So let us, when we ever come into any stage where we may disagree, may have different things, let's have the same mind first. Same mind in the Lord. Let's have the same mind in the Lord. As we go towards the parade in Armadale, let's have the same mind that we are going there for the same purpose. We are there for the same cause. Don't stand there with your banner wishing to trash that banner on top of somebody's head. Okay? You have to wave the banner for Christ. All right? Don't go there with that angry look, but with a cheerful look, because your countenance is for the cause of Christ, not for your cause, not for any other things. You're not there to help Evangelical Christian Fellowship. You're not there for yourself. You're there because it is God. Can we agree on that? Yeah? So when we go for Armadale, when we go for Byford's Christmas Carol, don't worry about the mosquitoes that bite you. Don't worry about the mat that you forgot to bring. All right? Don't forget, don't get so upset that everybody went and got the hot dog and you didn't. All right? The free hot dog. Yes, of course, the free hot dog. You know? All right? Don't get too wound up over those things because you're not there for that. You're not there for that. All right? And so let us as a church be united for the same cause, for the same mind of God, for the same purposes that He has built us for. We can put aside all other things because we want to win that war. Not our personal battles. All right? So the next one is about how to guard our heart and mind. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle. Do you know that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit? And I'm so glad you all know that, because the next question is, how gentle are you? How gentle have we been? How gentle are the words we speak to one another? How gentle do we treat one another? How gentle are we in our behavior? And then in anything that you have that's bothering you, lift it up in prayer. And then it says what? The peace of God that surpasses anything that you can think, anything that you feel it is, greater than that will come to you, will help you guard your heart and your mind. If there are times now in your life that you don't think that your heart and mind is at war, not at peace, then it's quite possible that you have not been doing these three things. These three things is the key to bringing the peace of God to guard you at any moment in the time. You see, the word peace, shalom, and I like the word, everyone says shalom and put a peace sign and things like that, but shalom means much more than that. Shalom is not the absence of war. Shalom is not the absence of fighting. Shalom is the wholeness, to be whole, to be at peace, to be secure, to be perfect. It is more than just surrounding situations. It's not about noisy situation. It's not about the fact that there's a whirlwind about. It's not about the fact that it's hot and sticky yesterday. It's not about that. It's about the wholeness, about God coming in. As we come to Christmas, it says what? God comes, Jesus came to what? Bring peace on earth. The peace is Firstly is peace with God. You are reconciled with God. You don't fight God. You are reconciled with God. Then the second one is what? Peace in yourself. But before you get peace in yourself, you must have peace with others as well. So, vertical, peace with God. Horizontal, peace with one another. Then you will have the peace yourself. Peace within yourself. Many times we look for the peace within ourselves without going vertical first and then horizontal. And somewhere along the line, if you look at that, you can get a little bit skewered. A little bit skewered. And that's why our hearts and our minds not guarded, not protected. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord is not about having joy and smiling and just jumping around. It's in the Lord. It's beyond circumstances, beyond situations. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare and activate within this congregation and also for myself that even as we come towards the time of Christmas, we learn how to guard our hearts and guard our minds. We say, Lord, we want peace with you. Reconciliation in the fullness, in the complete meaning of that word. That there are nothing that we struggle with you, but in all things, we just bring it to the altar and surrender it. And Lord, even for our relationships with one another, we say we want peace with one another. Peace not possible in our own understanding, but peace that is only possible through the blood of Jesus. Because you love us, and so we can love others. By ourselves, there is no love in us. We are very poor at that. We acknowledge that before you. We ask, Lord, that your love will just permeate through us so that it will flow not just upwards but also sideways to all people that we meet. That we can show people what it is to have peace with God and peace with one another, the disciples of Jesus Christ. So that then we can have peace within ourselves and our guard our hearts and mind even through this period that we go through. Not just for the period, but for each day of our lives. We just thank you. We bless you, Lord. His name. Okay. The last one. How to be content. And it talks about things. You know, the first thing is about things is the things that you think. What are the things that you think about? The things that you think about and the things that you want to think about will be the things that control you. You see, the word says, whatever is noble, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. I tell you, this is a very difficult thing for myself. Because even though I was not taught or trained, I could easily think all the not so good things. It comes so naturally. We complain because that nature is a sinful nature in us. Very easy to complain. You don't have to teach children how to complain. But you have to teach them to think the other way. You understand what I'm saying? You have to teach people how to think. Think of the things that's good. Oh, can I tell you all the things that's bad? Give me feedback. Easy. All the negative stuff. Constructive feedback, that might take some time. I'm gonna have to rack my brains on this one. You know, I'm gonna have to really think hard. Think of 10 bad things, easy. Think of 10 good things, I might struggle with after number 3. But here it says, think, meditate on these things. It's so easy for us to yesterday say, the flies were terrible, the weather was hot, it was sticky, it was messy. Can you think of anything that's good in that weather? Not a lot of you will be able to think that. But what I'm trying to say is, God's ways is different. He asks us to meditate on the things that are truly good and noble in each one of us. We can always find fault with one another. But who can spend time to say, hey, you're a very noble guy. He's probably thinking, what am I saying, yeah? Hey, good stuff you're writing. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, think of all the things that is good. Hey, Moses, I like your shirt. You presented yourself well before God today. See, think of things that are noble, things that are just, things that are good, things that are of good report. Look within your family and think of good things instead of picking on all the nasty things. And then the other thing it says, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you have seen, whatever you have heard, do them. The things, you've been taught a lot of things in the Word of God. You have received a lot. You have seen good behaviors. You have seen some not so good behaviors, but learn. You know, Kevin Connor says, you know, in life, when you look at seed thoughts, there are certain things you can pick up. These are the things you want. And these are the things you also pick up as not to do. Things that you can do and things that you are not to do. So even if you see bad behavior, that doesn't mean you have to learn bad behavior. You have to learn, this is not what I should be doing. So in everything, there's always good things that you can pick up. But you have to do them. Do them. In our Christian walk, it is so easy to think of all the right words, but not do all the right things. And it becomes a very cliche part of our walk in Christ. But it's the practice of faith that builds faith. It's not trying to make you believe more. You have to do what you believe. You know, I like Mark Rickler when he does Hearing God's Voice, the session, he says, you know, this is what the Bible says. Do I believe it? Yes, I believe that. Then I can do it. If it's there, I believe it, I can do it. Because if not, God won't want to write something that you can't do. He doesn't want something that is impossible to achieve. He gives something for you to believe in. Then he says, now that you believe in, let's do it. But you see, our normal tendency is this. We say, God, we thank you for this food. Your mercy endures forever. And then after we eat the food, we say, wow, this thing tastes lousy. Lah. you know what I mean? Yeah? Well, I said, I think it's a bit too much cornstarch, too much salt. Yeah. And then you say, hey, didn't we say grace? Didn't we say thank God for it? Simple things like that. But we don't, it doesn't hit our mind, you know? So, whatever things that you've received, practice, learn, do, reflect on them, because it's so easy for us to forget what we just said. And he says what? The God of peace will be there with you. Why? Because by faith, you have brought God into the situation. You have brought God into the situation. Okay, maybe next slide. Okay. So final conclusions. So I would say, I know that there are quite a number of things that I've touched upon just now. Have the same mind in Christ. Think about how you can rejoice, be gentle, lift things before God so that peace of God can guard you. Think about the things that you meditate on. Don't meditate on all the lousy things or the bad things. It's easy to do that. Try to push yourself a little bit beyond your comfort zone and think of the things that are noble, that are just, that are good, lovely. And here's the final bit I want to say to you to bring it all out. Remember I said to you, what would you do, what would you write if you were writing from the prison? What would you write? You see, Paul is in the prison, right? And he is practicing a principle inside that prison. And what is the principle? I tell you that principle is what I call, what I learned recently, and they call it the law of reflection. The situation is not so good. It's a dark prison, correct? Would you say you get the best food, you get your linen done, you know, your washing done, and you know, you get clean clothes? Would you say it's hygienic? Would you say it's the best food in the house? Would you say that you've got very sanitary conditions there? No. But yet, he does the opposite. He tells people to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he wants to reflect rejoicing in the Lord so that it can be reflected back on him. He's thinking about the things that maybe disagreements that you had. And he's saying, no, have the same mind in Christ. If I was in prison, I wouldn't be too gentle about things. But he's saying, be gentle. If I was in prison, I'd be saying, God, why is this happening? And he's saying, lift up. Don't be anxious about anything. Just lift it in prayer before God. He's in prison. There's not a lot of things that he can think about that's true, lovely, good report, noble about it. But yet, he's saying the opposite. He's trying to get people to reflect. He's reflecting that so that it bounces back on him. As one who is in prison, he is practicing the opposite of what you would expect a person is in prison. The law of reflection. Whatever things that is happening in your life that is negative, do the opposite. Do the opposite. That's what he's... And he has that capacity to do that, to say that. Because he is actually doing it. His testimony is true. Because the first thing you expect in his letter is, man, guys, I've got to tell you, this is a terrible time in my life. I'm going through hard times. I'm going through difficult things. Please pray hard for me. You know, send some flowers, send some this. You know, he doesn't say any of that. He doesn't do any of that. He doesn't say about himself. He's talking about others. It's not about you. So, wrapping it all up, tying it all together for each one of you today, whatever situations that you're going through, if you feel frustrated, do the opposite. If you feel that maybe people don't care about you, do the opposite. Care for others. Don't wait for people to care for you. Care for others. All right? If you find that maybe resources are tight, do the opposite. Give of yourself. Don't wait for resources to come. Give of yourself. Because when you give of yourself, the law of reflection says what? Whatever you reflect into the water will reflect back on you. You smile in the water, it smiles at you. You show the water a lousy face. Well, I'll say you've got a lousy face, but you know, a sad face, sadness will reflect on you. If you're sad, sow some happiness somewhere. Think of a place that you can sow happiness with. I think you all get the message. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we don't want to be in prison over what the circumstance or situations that bind us or hold us. We want to break through the prison walls. We want to go beyond prison because it's not about ourselves, it's about God. And Lord, we want to activate the law, the principle of reflection here among the people here today. Whatever we are feeling or going through, we can do the opposite in Christ. Not in ourselves, because in ourselves, we will just go down to the lowest denominator. But we can tap into the grace of God, the favor of God, to go beyond and go the opposite way. The world expects us to be sad because of sad, difficult situations. We will be happy. The world expects us to be restricted. We will not. We will go beyond. We will give. We will give of ourselves. We will give of our time. We'll give of our energy. The world expects us to be defeated. We will operate the opposite. We will operate on the victorious life that you have given unto us. So Lord, I just pray this over each and everyone, and also for myself too, Lord, that so many times we let things and events to take us in the direction it wants us to. But right now, by the grace of God, you change our eyes to see that it is not the events. We have to rise above the events. And we have to tap into the grace of God. So, Father, I just pray for your people now that we will have the same mind in the Lord. We may disagree with one another, but we will have the same mind. And we will work together in the same purpose, for the same cause, having the same rule that will govern us. We say, Lord, that in our hearts we will find joy in the Lord in everything. That whatever things that we may have go through, we will lift it up unto you. That we will be gentle with one another. Show us, Lord, how to be gentle with one another. And Lord, that the things that we think about, let it be the things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are lovely, that are of good report. That we can be truly, Lord, for the relationships that we build on earth, we know we take to heaven too. So Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you protect each one of us and the peace of God be with your people. We thank you and we bless you, Lord, this morning. Help us, Lord, even through this day, that the word of God, that the seeds that you have sowed into our hearts, that each one of us will take each seed, whatever seed that we have received, and run with it. We thank you, we bless you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit is in us. I was thinking, can we come together and say, He is my peace, who has broken down every wall. You know, the world is a fallen world, but you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is inside you. Say, the Holy Spirit inside me. He's the source of the fruit of the Spirit, source of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's sing this song. I know this is a song, but let the Holy Spirit move. Whatever situation is, God is with you. Hello? Whatever situation, God is with you. You go through life up and down, God is with you. He never changes. He is my peace. Shall we rise to our feet and sing this song? Let the Holy Spirit move for a while.
Peace. It's broken down every wall.
Just reach out to the Lord.
He is my peace. He is my peace.
Thank you, Lord.
He is my peace. Where's broken down every wall? He is my peace. He is my peace.
Cast all your cares unto him, for he cares for you.
So your cares on him, for he careth for you.
Kuriyam Daraba.
He is my peace. He is my peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he's better for you. He is my peace. He is my peace.
Say to the Lord, you are my peace.
You are my peace.
Kuriandarabalobrandaraba.
You are my peace. You are my peace.
Kuriandarabalobrandaraba.
You are my peace. You are my peace.
I cast
all my cares on him, for you careth for me.
Kuriandarabalobrandaraba.
Oh, he careth for you. You are my peace. You are my.
You know, the Lord is speaking a very practical part. This is the time the rubber meets the road. Whether you believe truly as a Christian, I want to trust whatever God you're going through, whatever you are, you reach out to God. God is a personal God. He made you. He knows you. We are going to sing this song. You reach out to God. You need help. You come. We'll pray for you. It's only God will help us. Whatever situation, only God can help you. We can pray for you. But the Holy Spirit is there with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. We're going to sing this song. If you need, you reach out to the Lord. Activate the dimension of faith. Those who need help, we'll pray for you. Okay. He is my peace.
He is my peace.
He was.
It's
broken down. Reach out to the Lord. There's no one else can help you except God. Whatever you're going through, you need help, you come. If not, reach out to the Lord. Who is my peace? Can you put a higher pitch in? Yeah, everyone. The impact. You is my peace. Your cares on him, for he careth for you. Thank you, Lord. I know God is speaking. If you need it, just pray, lay your hands, lift up your hands. I want to pray for you first here before you come or you go. If you are in this situation, you want God, divine intervention, I want to pray for you. Father, we see so many hands. Lord, nothing more than you, God. In the name of Jesus, I lift everyone's concerns, struggles, prayer, everything that we are going through. You know it all. I speak divine intervention. I speak peace into the stormy weather. I speak peace, life, love, joy into the situation. Because that will be drawn by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I speak resurrection life. Amen. Break forth from every wall of limitation. Be healed. Amen. Be restored. Amen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be anointed with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. He is my peace. You need prayer, you can come. If not, you can consider yourself dismissed. Everyone, he is my peace. He is my peace. Come help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I speak peace to the situation. Release your grace, your mercy, divine intervention in Jesus' name. Yeah. So your cares on him, for he careth for you. Yes, Lord, release your peace, your grace, your mercy. I speak peace. Hallelujah. Peace. You are my peace. You are my peace. Kuriyandaraba.